That was the story in outline. We now need to go into it a bit deeper. At the start of the story, humanity is formed, then blessed, then sent, and then immediately tested. The snake, as we've just seen, goes straight for the issue of authority. Did God really say?
Perhaps
he didn't. And it does look juicy, doesn't it? Crunch. From now on, God says to the snake, there will be warfare between your seed and the woman's. You'll damage his heel, but he'll damage your head. One day a seed will come, born of woman, who will resist your temptations, stand firm in the face of trials, and crush you and all you stand for. Crunch. As the Old Testament continues, we get increasing clarity about who this seed, this snake cruncher, is going to be. He's descended from Abraham, via Isaac, via Jacob, from the tribe of Judah, in the line of David, born of a virgin, in Bethlehem. As the story reaches its climax, the seed is formed in Mary, then blessed at his baptism, then sent into the wilderness, and then immediately tested. The snake is confident, seeing as Jesus hasn't eaten for 6 weeks. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to turn to bread. But Jesus is ready. It is written, he says, man doesn't live on just bread rolls, but on the words of God. Crunch. If you're going to quote the Bible to me, thinks the snake, then two can play at that game. If you're the Son of God, prove it. The Bible says that God will protect his chosen one, so jump off the temple and watch the angels swoop in to catch you. But again, Jesus is ready. He knows Psalm 91 inside out, and he knows it doesn't mean that. It is also written, don't test God. Crunch. The snake's final roll of the dice then. I'll give you the kingdom, but without the suffering, if you just worship me. Jesus doesn't hesitate. It is written, only worship the Lord your God. Crunch. Game, set, and match. It's a great story, and there's a huge amount we can learn from it. But for now, just consider the way Jesus fights. He has the resources of heaven available, yet he fights by using the authority of the scriptures. Not as a one-off or as a change of tactics, but each and every time. It is written. It is written. It is written, he repeatedly emphasizes. His position is unequivocal. You're trying to tempt me, but the scriptures have spoken. That's the end of the conversation. Not only that, but each skirmish reveals a different aspect of Jesus' commitment to scripture. In the first exchange, he shows that God's word is enough. Whether you're wandering in the wilderness for 40 days or 40 years, you'll find that bread alone doesn't satisfy, but only the words that come from God's mouth. In the second, faced with an attempt to distort the text's meaning, he shows that God's word is coherent. Yes, Psalm 91 says that God protects his people, but Deuteronomy tells us not to test God, and we need to hold those two things together, which certainly does not involve jumping off a building just to show off. In the third, he shows that God's word is authoritative. If God tells us to do something, then we do it, no matter what anyone says. Jesus, it seems, loved the word of God with his heart, being satisfied by it, his mind understanding it, and his will obeying it. If that was true of Jesus, I really want it to be true of me.